This episode of the Inner Heart Uprising is available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them, and who once again looks like a character from Wayne's World.
You're back. Look at that. Yeah. You know?
Just call me Wayne up in here.
This just is kidding. Just the Don't look moving that. Forward. And I fuck with
I will
it.
Always look like this. No, nah,
so you
not.
Won't.
Exactly.
And there is me, Rodeca, a fat, black, solo polyamorous existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. And my pronouns are she and they.
Nice. On this episode, we're talking about why people are comparing HIV positive folks to folks unvaccinated against COVID-19. And surprisingly, we're talking about what the rapper Plies has to say about all of that. Plus, for the past 3 decades, various HIV vaccines have been in development. So why don't we have an HIV vaccine yet? What are some contenders? What's in the running? What's not in the running? Who has failed? All that and much more coming up.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag InnerHallUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you could do so at InnerHallUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHallUprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to InnerHallUprising.com to pay a hoe or to cop some merch.
Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. All right. So we're starting this episode off with one of my fave segments. It's called Fuck Is This.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
Fuck Is This is a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating as we see it in the world and most often on the interwebs. So let's open up Twitter. And we've got a tweet from none other than the rapper Plies of I Want a Bitch Who Pussy Smell Like Water fame. Yeah. And so you might be hearing this a little bit. This might be a dated story at this point, but I think the concept still applies. But we did a double recording this week, so we need to celebrate Halloween.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, we take this very seriously. We're doing this because we need to prioritize Halloween. Yeah, I'm sorry.
We needed that weekend. Yes. We needed that weekend. But on October 20th, 2021, Plies tweeted, people say the envy. Wait, I'm sorry. It's the fact that every word is capitalized.
Yes. Which you
the
have
German
to
keyboard
do.
Does that.
Oh, does it automatically?
It does. Okay. And I'm always a little bit embarrassed because I'm like, oh, people think my grammar is all fucked, but it's because I'm typing with a German keyboard. But yes, he capitalized everything. People say the NBA let Magic play with HIV. You can't contract HIV from shaking hands, hugging, coughing, and running up and down the court. COVID, you can. HIV is transmitted through blood emoji. That's how you get HIV, through blood emoji.
Drip. Drip.
Red drip. You get it from Young Thug's favorite fucking emoji, though. But he meant blood. HIV is transmitted through blood. Or needle emoji, unscreened, birth and unprotected sex. If players were having babies, sex, or sharing needles, you had a point. But you didn't have a point. Supplies really just put everybody in their place. But let's talk a little bit about the context behind this. So as I said, Plies is a rapper who looks like Kirk Franklin.
He does.
And made a song called I Want a Bitch Who Pussy Smell Like Water. And those are like my top things about Plies. So he is referring to or responding to this notion that many people have set forth, stating that because Magic Johnson played in the NBA. It's all by people. I would watch that. Because Magic Johnson played in the NBA whilst being HIV positive, that folks who do not have the COVID vaccine should also be able to play. Most notably, Congressperson Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has said this. She tweeted, "The fascist NBA won't let Kyrie Irving play for refusing a vaccine, but yet they still let Magic Johnson play with HIV." So she tweeted that sometime in like late October.
NBA is super fash.
That sounds like super fash NBA. That sounds like a fact to me. No. Yeah. So that reminds me of the whole like my free speech on Facebook. And it's like, no, Facebook is a private company. It's not how that works. They're not a government. They're does not apply. Does not fucking apply. Fuck Facebook, though. Okay. Do you have any thoughts about this before I share my thoughts about this?
Immediately, and I'm sure we share the same sentiment. It's like, y'all let implies educate y'all motherfuckers on some shit. Y'all let implies come out the woodwork and be like, yo, y'all dumb. Like,
with the to be fair, well, actually, a lot of people pointed out, and yeah. I didn't actually look in this. I just assumed that they would not lie. Plies was a RN. Plies was a registered nurse.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. He knows shit. But then also, there are many nurses who are like, I'm not taking that fucking vaccine. I don't know where the fuck that shit has been. Even though you can read papers about it. But I guess
flies.
Oh, God. I sound like my That's mom funny. Now. You know that rapper Flies, Sammy? Plies is I don't even remember what the fuck I was gonna say. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, he's reading the research.
Okay, yes. And like, you know, he has the education to back it up, so that's also really cool because like I know that what he's saying is sound, but it's nice that like people looked into it and said, look, I don't care if you, because people will listen to rappers when it's on like the worst type of information. But I'm sure people are like, well, Plies doesn't know anything, so I'm glad that he also has some shit backing that up. Like, yeah, no, I come from a place where I know this shit. It was nice, it was refreshing. For someone to say something that wasn't like, oh, my cousin took the vaccine and his balls, you know? Like, it's just nice.
Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls. The infamous. Okay, so this is how quickly you have to retract statements. I don't think it is confirmed that Plies.
He's not?
I hate meanwhile, the internet.
Meanwhile, I'm going the like, yeah. And Sam's like, you know what? This is not me. I wanted I'm going to look it up.
Believe in you niggas, okay? The one time I wanted to believe in y'all. I don't know if this is true.
Why would someone make that up? Why is someone making that up?
Rapper's career as a nurse explained, and this is from another website that I don't even know, so everything is nothing. A BuzzFeed report from 2013 states that Plies got his bachelor in nursing and worked as an RN before turning to music. A QA page from 4noob.com sees a fan claiming they heard on the radio that Plies graduated from a four-year college in Miami with a degree in nursing. However, it is important to note that none of these reports are confirmed. This information is not backed by legitimate sources or confirmed by Plies himself. Hence, whether Plies was a registered nurse or not remains an unanswered question.
Oh no, where do these things come from?
That's why I hate misinformation. I just say like why would you even lie about that?
Like something that like legitimately is someone sitting in their room going like, yeah, that's the one, and you just say it. Where'd you pull that from? That has to be true. I don't care. It's one of those things that it's just like, I want it to be true because I don't want it to not be something. I don't want it to be something that somebody in their basement made up for some reason to just shake up shit. Like when Kanye and there was this rumor that Kanye and Jeffree Star were like in an affair, and like someone like literally just went on TikTok and said that and everyone believed them, and afterwards she was like, I was lying the whole time, I just wanted to get some fame. And it's just like, people do shit like that, so you have to know, like, anything could be anything. God, I'm tired.
Anything could be anything. So I'm going back to the BuzzFeed article from 2013. It's number three on the list of rappers who had surprising day jobs. Plies, the Please Excuse My Hand star, got his bachelor's in nursing and worked as a registered nurse. Apparently, he made his patients uncomfortable when he donned heavy expensive jewelry. And then it links out to something, but that link doesn't exist anymore.
Now that made it feel less real.
He's just like, he's smacking people in the face with his chain when he's trying to like do what? Their IV drip and shit. Like, I don't think you wear chains.
He was a rapper, so like he's just wearing these chains. Like, that's just his personality.
How do you afford it?
That's just a personality. Now I don't believe it. I don't know. I'm tired already. Like, this is upsetting. Oh,
man. Yeah. Sorry about that. Looks like Plies may or may not be a nurse. You have to ask Plies.
One or the other. Speak on it, Plies. Let us know.
Give us more truth, King. Give us more truth. All right. So Plies, despite maybe not being a nurse, Plies' scientific take on the situation is factually sound. And I'm like, good on Plies for like actually spreading correct information about both of these viruses on the internet, especially like given your platform. I think anybody with a platform should be doing responsible things with their platforms. So thank you for doing that, Plies. I personally just find this take really sad. I think like coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who like has touted misinformation specifically regarding coronavirus in the past and stuff like that, I'm not like surprised to see or hear her spreading such things. And I think that aligns with the larger like anti-government for the wrong reason thing that a lot of conservatives in this country are doing anyway. Mm-hmm. But what makes me really sad is when like people who are like of marginalized communities like buying into that sort of rhetoric with this vaccine mistrust that I think is like very misguided. So all that to say, I'm not going to get into the COVID vaccine specifically at all in this episode, but if you're looking for more information about it from a culturally sensitive and scientifically sound standpoint, I recommend you listen to an In Those Genes episode called Vaccine Versus, which I produce, full disclosure. But yeah, if you'd like have more information about whether or not to take the vaccine, or you want to share that information with a loved one who's debating or whatever, I'll link that in the show notes. But on HIV specifically, or HIV, which I would say if I was British or Jamaican, that virus has ravaged the queer community.
You are Jamaican.
Yeah, but I wasn't born there, man. Okay. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When do I speak Patois?
You're right.
All? Thank you. Thank you for discussing my ancestral lineage. Shout out to my dad, who was born there. Mon.
Continue.
Am I born dear? Anyway, this is so silly. HIV, back to very fucking serious things, has ravaged the queer community, specifically Black queer communities, sex work community, and like the whole continent of Africa, legitimately, for decades. Like, it's been like 40, 50 years. And it has been so difficult to develop an HIV vaccine, not rooting this in any like facts, but I think that's because of the communities that it affects. If it was affecting rich white people, then yeah, we would have like cleaned this shit up a long time ago. Look what we did with COVID. So like all of that is happening, and instead of being like, hey, that is a fucking outrage that this virus has been ravaging these communities for years and they need resources and how to like get this shit under control, obviously like there are more resources with like PrEP and stuff like that, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but like just the fact that this has been allowed to happen, like that is the outrage, that is the racist thing, that is homophobic, that is cis sexism because it affects trans people more, specifically trans women more, that is anti-sex work because it affects sex workers more, and niggas are just peddling in misinformation and flawed logic. Like, it's not a fucking outrage that Magic Johnson got to play basketball because nothing happened. Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
Because that's not how HIV works. And this nigga fucking Kyrie Irving, if he gets to play basketball, he can get other people sick. Like, what is the actual outrage here? Like, what are people trying to do? There's just so much things to actually be outraged about, and people just choose to, like, make stuff up or believe in nothing or... Yeah. It just bothers me, like... At first when COVID dropped, when it was like coming out or whatever, and people were like, man, they didn't talk about Ebola this much. First of all, I worked in news when the 2014 Ebola outbreak happened. Yes, the fuck we did talk about it. We talked about it a lot. We talked about it a fucking lot. And it was like, they didn't talk about it that much because it was affecting the African continent or whatever. Like, no, nigga. Ebola is fucking dangerous. People talked about it a lot. And the reason why COVID is not the same as Ebola is because it's like less transmissible or something like that. Like, you see how far COVID is spread.
Yeah.
And you see the fact that Ebola is typically contained.
Yeah.
And things like that. And it's like, that is like the reason why this is happening. But if you want to talk about fucking racism, let's talk about the fact that more Black people are likely to be frontline workers, and because of that we're getting more sick from COVID right now. That's the outrage. It's happening right now. You can read in the news, you can go talk to your neighbor, you can see like your fucking family members who have died. That, like, when the outrage is right there and people make up fake outrage, it bothers me to no end, because I just feel like we are fucked. This is my third week saying this on this podcast.
Third week? You say this every week, and that's okay.
Yeah, but that specific phrase.
Okay, because we are
like
fucked.
We are fucked. Because it's like, if we can't even like get together to fight against things that are actually happening, what?
But them imaginary threads, they be a thorn in people's sides. And
I was on Twitter just now. I saw these motherfuckers like protesting outside of the Barclays Center talking about let Kyrie play.
No way.
Kyrie's up in here like fucking going to schools on Native American reservations, like not wearing his mask, all unvaccinated. Like, those are the people who are most at risk. You fuck. You rich fuck.
What is happening here?
You have access to all the information in the world, and you are just like you've been pulled out of conspiracy theories before. You've been pulled out of that flat earth shit before. Yeah. And here you are back on your bullshit being harmful and being dangerous. What is your problem?
Mm-mm. Proudly, too. And people are backing him up. His right to own his body. And I'm just like, oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, it is your right to own your body. And it's also a part of public health for you to not get me sick. So if you don't want to take the vaccine, that is very fine.
Yeah.
Don't play a contact sport in a stadium with multiple people. It can't be both. It can't be both. And honestly, isn't that what he decided to do?
Yeah, he was very much like, I'm just not going
to
play. Like,
So why are you protesting? Nobody's forcing him to get it.
Yeah. Literally no one is. It's not like they said, yo, you have to. Like, people are frustrated, sure. But, like, mainly, like, people who are the owners of the basketball teams, like, damn, like, my good player doesn't want to play. But it's not like, yo, you have to do it. It's just like, he's like, all right, I'm not going to play. And that's his choice.
Yeah. Especially for a rich motherfucker like that. He's like, I'm good. Okay. Yeah, like, he's really good. Like, I get the case more so when it's, like, people who are, like, working class. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, like, I am, like, existing off of minimum wage and shit like that. Like, that's another conversation to be had. But I do not feel bad for a millionaire who can't get people sick. All right, well, up next. We're talking about some real deal science. Not that Marjorie Taylor Greene shit, okay? We're talking all about HIV and vaccinations. But first, Rodeca has a little bit to say.
Yeah. So, are you ready to tell the truth? Or maybe drink instead? Either way, join me, Rodeca, for a game of Truth or Drink this coming Thursday, November 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Because we in New York out here. Truth or Drink is my favorite party game that asks hard-hitting questions to make you laugh, reminisce, and maybe even grow. If you're not a drinker, that's no problem. We don't pressure anybody here. It's your body, your choice. You're invited regardless, no matter how drunk or sober you want to be. The only thing you do need to do is be a member of our Patreon community. So visit patreon.com/innerhole uprising, pledge as little as $2 a month, and don't miss out on this week's Truth or Drink session. You will also find our Patreon link in the show notes. Next week, another hole will have more fun in store. And back to the show.
Ooh, every week the hoes have fun in store. You got to be a Patreon to enjoy the fun, though. All right, let's get into our next segment. It is called Fuck It. And Fuck It is our topic of the day, where we do a deep dive into a topic in the realm of sex, love, and or dating. Today, we are talking about HIV and vaccines, specifically an HIV vaccine. So in the same vein of vaccine and HIV, like we were talking about with that ply shit or that fly shit, we're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about HIV and vaccines. We'll be talking about what vaccines are in development, what vaccines have failed and why, are they safe, how promising are they, and much, much more. This is going to be a lot of science talk. So Rodeca is going to be, because I did all this research and Rodeca didn't do the research.
I'm the everyman here.
She's Kyrie Irving.
I was about to say, it's my choice. It's
my choice. My body, my choice. Which is so wild because Marjorie Taylor Greene is like not talking about abortion and their body, their choice. So that's interesting. But Sips tea. Yeah, so whenever like shit don't make sense or whatever, hop in, ask questions and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And all that being said, if you are listening and you catch something that doesn't quite make sense or catch something that sounds like misinformation or something like that, I am also a layman. And so feel free to write in to challenge this, because this is a little collaborative effort that we're doing here. But I'm going to cite all of my sources throughout this segment here. So let's talk about the state of affairs, right? So for the rest of the episode, we're specifically focusing on vaccines that are or have been in development for like around the past 5 years, because who cares about a vaccine that failed in the 1980s very much. But let's begin with the big picture state of affairs. So, and I didn't know this. I didn't actually know any of this stuff.
I was just about to say, I'm literally buckled in. I didn't know anything. Like the fact that you're like, in the past 5 years, there's multiple vaccines. I'm like, look, let's find out.
Yeah. So more than 100 HIV, this is from an article in Nature, which I'll link in the show notes. All the articles I mentioned, I'll link in the show notes, so I don't have to keep saying that over and over again. But more than 100 HIV vaccines have been tested in people in the past 3 decades. There have been 100 efforts at this shit, but only one has demonstrated any kind of protection. And that's like demonstrated to the point where like the study was actually over. So most of the studies I'll be talking about aren't over. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
But yeah, so in 2009, researchers announced that the results of a study conducted in Thailand showed that shortly after participants received an experimental vaccine, they were almost 60% less likely to become infected with HIV than those given a placebo. But the effects waned within a year. And by the end of the 3.5 year study, vaccinated individuals were only 31% less likely to become infected. So not an effective vaccine in the long run. Yeah. So let's talk about the ones that you might have been hearing about in the news lately and some of the ones that are just going on right now. So I heard about this one earlier this year and I was like, oh, hey, pretty cool. And I was like, oh, okay. So this one is funded by Johnson & Johnson. I'm going to talk about that for a little bit. And I'm going to read a little bit from an article called Johnson & Johnson HIV Vaccine Trial Fails Mid-Stage Study. That is an article in ABC and is written by Sunny Saltzman. So the trial called Imbokudo was co-sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the U.S. National Institutes of Health, or NIH, as you might be familiar with. It included more than 2,600 women living in 5 African countries where women and girls have a high risk of HIV infection.
Now I'm gonna why did they pick just women? Do you know why? Was that for a reason?
I don't know why. I mean, I've heard like things about like misinformation as it pertains to HIV in some African countries where it's like if I rape content warning but like the idea of virgin rape like being able to cure one of HIV and stuff like that. So
I'm assuming
that they picked them because, well, in this other one that is also that I'm going to talk about in a little bit, that is also funded by Johnson & Johnson. They more so focus on men and people assigned male at birth. So they might have been doing that concurrently in 2 different populations.
Okay.
So, yeah. Back to, or now I'm going to skip to an NIH press release. Also about the same vaccine. An investigational HIV vaccine tested in the Imbokudo clinical trial conducted in sub-Saharan Africa posed no safety concerns but did not provide sufficient protection against HIV infection, according to primary analysis of the study data. The phase 2B proof of concept study, which began in November 2017, enrolled, like I said, 2,637 women ages 18 to 35 from 5 countries, and the primary analysis was conducted 24 months after participants received their first vaccination. So these clinical trials take like years. See what the hell is going on. Back to this ABC article, the vaccine was safe, like mentioned in the NIH press release. Researchers said, but ultimately efficacy was only 25%, meaning that people who received the vaccine had a slightly smaller risk of developing HIV, but the difference was so slight that the result might be chalked up to random chance. The Johnson & Johnson HIV vaccine uses the same quote-unquote viral vector technology used in its current COVID-19 vaccine. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but you might know that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine technology is a different mechanism than the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine technologies. Those are mRNA vaccines, and I'm going to explain what that means later, and this one is a different technology that I'll explain right now.
Got it.
So scientists say the recent failure has no bearing on the technology itself, which has been used successfully for other viruses, including Ebola and SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Rather, HIV itself is a unique virus. It evades the body's immune system, making it very difficult to create a vaccine that generates immunity against infection.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Despite the setback, the Imbokudo trial showed the vaccine was safe among people who received it, a hopeful sign. And Imbokudo means rock in the South African language isiZulu, referring to a proverb about women's strength and community. I thought that was
really nice.
Nice name for it.
Yeah.
A little bit more on the technology, right? And this is going to come up in the next vaccine that I talk about. So this is back to that NIH press release. The investigational vaccine tested in the Imbokudo study is based on a quote-unquote mosaic immunogens. So that's vaccine components designed to induce immune responses against a wide variety of global HIV strains. Because as you know, or as you might not know, viruses do be mutating, though. So there is multiple strains going around at a time. The vaccine candidate used a strain of common cold. So this is how this this vaccine actually like worked technologically. The vaccine candidate used a strain of common cold virus. I won't read them. Engineered to not cause illness to deliver four mosaic antigens to spur an immune response. Earlier research indicated the vaccine was both well tolerated and can induce an anti-HIV immune response. Imbokudo participants received four vaccinations during a one-year period. This included four doses of the investigational quadrivalent vaccine. That means four. The final two doses were administered together with doses of an HIV protein, clade CGP140, and an adjuvant to boost immune responses. Participants were followed up for at least 2 years. The primary analysis occurred 1 year after the last study's participants' final vaccination. Study participants were offered pre-exposure prophylaxis medication, which is something that you take to prevent HIV infection. It's typically pretty effective during the clinical trial. And the women who acquired HIV infection, the vaccine didn't work. So the people who got HIV during the process were directed to medical care and offered antiretroviral treatment, which is what folks who are HIV positive go on to prevent HIV turning into AIDS. And that's also pretty effective. HIV is a lot more manageable now than it was 20 years ago. Any thoughts about that so far?
I'm already learning so much. So I'm sitting here I didn't know, even the fact that they're linking it to the common cold virus and using a strain to try and combat it. I had no idea that was something that people did. I did not know there was a difference between the Johnson & Johnson shots and the other two. And it's just, I don't know. I'm thinking about the people who got it, and they were at least they were given some type of care, and they were given is that PrEP? Is that pre-exposure?
Yeah, so some people were offered PrEP, and then afterwards they were offered antiretrovirals, which might be the same thing as PEP. I know PEP is what you take if you have been exposed or you think you have been exposed. So all the same sort of medical type of care.
Yeah. I'm just thinking I was going back to the one that was conducted in Thailand. It was in 2009. Are they still working with that, or is that just done? Because that seems the only one that was promising. It's done.
After the 35, after it dropped to only 35% efficacy, I think
they were closed
it. Yeah. Mm. We need to work on something else.
Yeah. Just what is it? You know, but it's a tricky case. It's not the same thing as COVID, which a lot of people were granted, obviously, there is differences in the demographics that are mainly affected by it. So a lot of the time, obviously everybody was hands on deck with COVID as opposed to HIV. It's nice to see that 100 tests were made, but I feel like we could be breaking through any moment if we just put more time and effort into this.
And money. Yeah,
mainly money, I'm just I love hearing things, and I'm just absorbing the information, so this is crazy. Okay, well, this is wild.
I want to say something about what you said about the fact that they're using the common cold virus. It just reminds me of what people say a lot about the coronavirus vaccine, and I can't trust it, it's so new. I encourage you to listen to that In Those Genes episode for folks who are listening at home who feel that way, because we get deep into the science of that. But when it comes to it's so new, vaccine technology is super old. Not super old, it's not 1,000 years old or anything like that. Although, the concept of introducing an antigen to boost an immune response is something that communities have been doing for years now. Scientists were not just let's cook some shit up together. Oh, here's a coronavirus vaccine. Yeah. The coronavirus, both of them, the Johnson & Johnson technology and that mRNA technology used by the Pfizer and Moderna, is shit that has been in the works for years and years and years now. It just because it wasn't applied to this specific virus doesn't mean that the technology wasn't being tested already. It's like, just because a fucking Tesla came out doesn't mean that there weren't a bunch of other electric cars before the Tesla.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Which is something that, like, I will honestly say I was never like, oh, I don't trust it. I mean, I did. I have my skepticism because, like, I want to know what's going to go in my body. But at the same time, like, I'm not thinking about, this is not something that just started because COVID started. It's something that started a long time ago, and we just applied it to this actual strain. But it's like, we're just using that and applying it to something else. And, you know, I'll admit that I didn't know that, but I'm also, I'm not wrong and strong. I'm very wrong and like, I'm a wait and find out and read like,
I just didn't know that.
Yeah, I just don't know it. It's like, I'll never claim that I do. And like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know it and I'm learning too. So yeah, it's very interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that was one modern HIV vaccine contender, and it failed. All right, this next vaccine we're talking about is called Mosaico, and you might be on the right track for why it's called that, but we're going to talk about it. So there's another late-stage trial called Mosaico, which uses a slightly different vaccine approach and is being tested among men who have sex with men and transgender people in Europe and North America. So this is also funded by Johnson & Johnson. So I'm going to read a little bit more from an article in Nature called Mosaic HIV Vaccine is Tested in Thousands of People Across the World. And it's written by Emiliano Rodriguez Mega. That's a cool last name.
Yeah.
Paraphrase a little bit. Mosaico is an experimental HIV vaccine that targets more strains of the virus than any other developed so far. And they started their late stage clinical trial in late 2019. I don't know if they use more strains of the virus than the first Johnson & Johnson one that I talked about, though, because I don't know which one started first. And this article was written after. But this one is called Mosaico for the same, like, for that same concept of the mosaic of different strains of viruses. So this study is sponsored by a consortium led by Janssen Vaccines and Prevention, part of Johnson & Johnson of New Brunswick, New Jersey. Shout out to New Jersey for the first time.
Ever.
And then everyone from New Jersey is like, oh, God.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? These guys. Yeah, sorry.
Every state has their time on this podcast, okay?
Never
Every state has their time, yeah. Different boroughs, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck Brooklyn, for example. What are you going to do about it? You going to fight me? Anyway.
We going to throw some hands, bro. I don't know.
And I might get fucked up, but at least I'm punching back. At least I'm punching back.
You going down fighting. I believe in you.
Exactly. This is bitch from Wayne's World, man. Okay, small trials of the Mosaic vaccine in people showed that it prompted an immune response such as the production of antibodies against HIV. But starting in September, scientists will test it in thousands of people to assess whether the vaccine provides any protection against HIV infection. The phase 3 trial will test the vaccine in transgender individuals and in men who have sex with men across the Americas and Europe. Small laboratory tests of the Mosaico vaccine in people showed that it elicited strong immune responses for at least 2 years after researchers administered it. The responses seem to be more durable than those observed in that Thai vaccine trial from 2009, says Guido Silvestri, an AIDS researcher at Emory University in Atlanta. The latest Mosaico study will enroll 3,800 participants across 8 countries, including Argentina, Italy, Mexico, Poland, and the United States. Half of the participants will get 4 vaccine injections over the course of a year, and the other half will receive a placebo. The shots contained a disabled common cold virus, much like the first Johnson & Johnson one that we talked about, that carries synthetic versions of 3 HIV genes. Researchers built the genes based on sequences from HIV strains found in several regions of the world. And then as an added boost to help produce antibodies against HIV, the Mosaico team added 2 synthetic proteins based on proteins produced by HIV strains common in Africa, the Americas, Europe, Australasia, to the last 2 doses in the series. The incorporation of this quote-unquote protein boost is what makes the study truly a global vaccine, says Baroche. The Mosaico team hopes that their vaccine will help to protect at least 65% of the study participants, and they expect to get results by 2023. That was at the time this article was written, which was like last year or 2 years ago. Now more recent articles say by 2024. So
okay, so it's in the works.
Yeah. And then you might be wondering, how is the Mosaico impacted by what happened with the Johnson & Johnson study, since they're similar technologies and the same the same company. In addition to its primary review of the Imbokudo study, the partners, in consultation with an independent data and safety monitoring board, determined that a complementary phase 3 HIV vaccine called Mosaico should continue. So they said it should continue despite what happened with Imbokudo. Then there's another interesting one called PrepVac. So PrepVac combines the HIV vaccine candidates with the once daily pill called PrEP. We discussed this a little bit earlier, but once again, PrEP is a proven intervention that has been shown to prevent HIV, where an antiretroviral pill is taken prior to HIV exposure. We also did a whole episode explainer on PrEP. Not a whole explainer, but like a 20-minute explainer on PrEP in a previous episode, and I'm going to link that in the show notes. It's called Get a Q-Tip in That Ass and Hoe Safely. We've always been like this. But more information on... Oh, do you have any comments on Mosaico before I move into PrEP back?
Actually? So I have a question, and I'm sorry if this is silly, and I will... Again, this is coming from my brain, and I'm...
No, go for it. I don't think any questions are silly.
Okay. So how are the participants getting HIV afterwards? Because I noticed in the other ones they said that for people who might got it, they were given antiviral from the Johnson & Johnson, the original one, the Imbokudo. Says studies were offered pre-exposure prophylaxis. The women who acquired HIV infection were directed to medical care and offered antiretroviral treatment.
So you're asking, like, despite taking PrEP, how are they still getting HIV?
Yeah. And are they getting it? Are they getting it because they put a strain of the vaccine in it? But that's a dead strain of it, right?
Yeah, they're getting it. They're not getting it because of the vaccine. Yeah, like any of the studies that I'm discussing here.
Okay.
The vaccine has proven to be safe. All the ones that are ineffective because you can still get HIV.
Got it. So they just...
Yeah. So they're not giving you HIV.
Yeah, okay.
With what you're saying in the Johnson & Johnson, I'm not sure like what the statistics are on this, but for the Johnson & Johnson and the Mosaico, people are being offered PrEP, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're taking PrEP.
Got it. Okay.
So there's that. And then you can be offered PrEP and you can take PrEP sometimes, but PrEP you have to take every day. If you're like failing to take it correctly, like the same thing that happens with condoms, you can still get pregnant, you know, you can still contract an STI. So there's that. And then also, I don't think PrEP is 100% foolproof. So there's also that factor. So myriad of different reasons.
Got it.
Good question leading into this next one, which is PrepVac. So PrepVac combines studying people who are taking one of the HIV vaccine candidates and also people who are taking PrEP. So this is from PrepVac's website. PrepVac is an African-led, European-supported HIV prevention study running in East and Southern Africa from 2018 to projected 2023. For the first time, it is combining evaluation of experimental HIV vaccines and pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, at the same time. PrepVac is seeking a minimum of 1,668 participants, men and women, age 18 to 40 years. Participants will be from the general and key populations who report behaviors that put them at risk, increased risk of catching HIV or contracting HIV. This may include female bar workers, people living and working around main highways, commercial sex workers, fisher folk, and men who have sex with men.
I never knew any of those demographics were considered, or like populations were considered
high risk.
High risk. I didn't know that, especially like specifically female bar workers or like highways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really.
Do they
have
say why?
Probably on their website, but I didn't go to that. But since this is studied on the African continent specifically, I think that like changes things up.
Got it.
In regards to how like work is done, like female bar workers, I can see like, oh, the bar is not making it enough. I also have to do some sex work, something like that. I don't really understand the in and around highways. The fisher folk, I know like fishermen just like hire sex workers a lot. They hire sex workers. So yeah, I'm not particularly sure, but it's interesting to know that those populations are at greater risk for contracting HIV. So PrEPVAC is planning to run the clinical trial at 5 sites in 4 countries, those being Masaka, Uganda, Mbeya, Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Maputo, Mozambique, and Durban, South Africa. The PrEPVAC project dates are from 2018 to 2023. Like I said, preparation for the vaccine includes a registration cohort whose first participants were enrolled in July 2018. The first participants in the clinical trial enrolled in December 2020. The information collected in this study may help to make a vaccine for HIV and help to make PrEP more widely available in study communities. So now I'm going to talk about the PrEP side of the study. PrEPVAC will test whether a new form of oral PrEP, TAF/FTC, you might be familiar with this name, the
Descovy, yeah.
The brand name, yeah, the brand name Descovy, taken daily. It's testing whether or not it is equivalent or more effective than TDF/FTC, Truvada, which you also might be familiar with, taken daily. In the context of the current PrEP availability situation at the study sites, the PrEP results of the PrEPVAC will be valuable for informing future implementation and uptake strategies by local stakeholders and champions in setting where PrEP uptake is low even when accessible, but is likely to be more widely available in the future. Participants enrolled in PrEPVAC are not obliged to take PrEP, so that's similar to the other ones, but they will be encouraged to use it as HIV prevention option, which I think is like also just really important to say in your study and stuff like that, because we do have a long sorted history and there are documented instances of like scientists just being shitty and researchers being shitty. And there's a lot of like shitty things done in the past. And because those shitty things happened, like the Tuskegee experiment, for example, like a lot of like a lot of standards when it comes to like informed consent really like beefed up so that like we can never go back there again. Like these kinds of injustices can never happen again. And so I think it's like very, it's good to know that they're not just like, oh yeah, go out there and fuck without any fucking intervention or anything like that, just so we can see whether or not this vaccine works. Like they're still like, hey, there's a really effective
thing. Which is what I was worried about. That's like something I was thinking about. Like you want to get these results. So you're like, I mean, it could be some shady stuff or like even some false promises where it's just like, yeah, this is totally going to protect you. And then it's just like, oh, I don't know. So it's nice that they're also offering different options to say like, please like actually take this and we're encouraged to take it. And then like, obviously it's in their hands to do it, but at least you're giving them informed knowledge of what they can do to prevent this.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then furthermore, among those who decline taking PrEP, PrEPVAC researchers will try to find out what the barriers to acceptance are. Yeah. So I think like, I don't know, I was listening to this podcast called Sawbones and they were talking about the malaria vaccine, which is also something that has come out recently or got approved. I don't remember. But the host of that podcast is a doctor and like, it's just a difficult situation to be in when you're like, yes, I know that the medical industry and the science industry as an industry is fucked up and has committed these injustices. But as someone who is a doctor and who actually cares, I know that myself and like researchers like are doing this work because they care. And ultimately, I feel like I don't know the intentions of the people behind the study who are funding the study, but I think that the people who are the scientists who are actually working are like, we just don't want HIV to keep killing people. So whether it's PrEP or the vaccine, like we just don't want you motherfuckers to die anymore.
Yeah. So just tell us why, like, you might not want to take that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we can help in any sort of way, whether it be like making this easier accessible or whatever, or maybe it is a once a week pill or something like that, as opposed to an everyday pill. Like maybe you don't have access to clean water to swallow your pills. Maybe you don't like swallowing pills, like all these kinds of things. Help us help you. Participants will be offered PrEP during the vaccine immunization phase. So that's from week 0 to week 26 in order to prevent HIV. This will give the vaccines the best possible chance of working. So the vaccine side of the study, PrEPVAC's vaccines trial will test whether two experimental combination vaccine regimens can provide any protection against HIV in populations at risk of acquiring HIV. One regimen combines DNA with protein-based vaccine, and the other combines DNA, MVA, and protein-based vaccine. Both have already been evaluated in clinical trials in the US, Europe, and Africa, and have demonstrated their safety and ability to induce immune responses. I don't know what those are, though. So I know, like, on the website, they're aware, obviously, of the Mosaic or the Mosaico and the Imbokudo ones, but I don't know if that's the same vaccine that they're using. So grain of salt about that. And obviously, if it is the Imbokudo, they're probably not using it anymore since it's proven not effective. The outcome of PrEPVAC will tell us whether the regimens can protect against HIV infection. PrEPVAC is the first HIV vaccine efficacy trial to be funded outside of the United States. PrEPVAC is complementary to these other efficacy trials as it is evaluating a combination of different vaccine candidates and regimens. The two regimens will be trialed in PrEPVAC have already been evaluated in multiple phase 1 and 2 clinical trials in the US, Europe, and Africa, and have demonstrated their safety and ability to induce immune responses. We do not know whether the combination will work to prevent HIV infection, and the outcome of the large PrEPVAC study will tell us whether they can or not. If you want more information about what the two vaccine combinations are, you can go to their website. It's pretty dense scientific data, so I'm not going to read that. They go on to say it is absolutely not possible to get HIV infections from the vaccines used in this study. Two of the vaccines contain small pieces of man-made HIV DNA, which is to tell the body to make small amounts of proteins that look like the ones found in HIV. And then it says the names, but I'm not going to read them because I don't think that they're going to mean anything to anybody. The two other vaccines are made of, you know what, I will, for the people who like to do their own research. Hello, Kyrie Irving. These are DNA-HIV-PT123 and MVA-CMDR, respectively. The two other vaccines are made of man-made proteins, which are similar to proteins from the outer surface of HIV. These are called AIDSVAX and CN54GP140. Sounds like a password.
Yeah, it does. Like a good combination.
to help the body notice and respond to these proteins, they are combined with substances known as adjuvants. There's also a placebo in the PrEPVAC that does not contain the vaccine. The placebo for the study vaccines will be a sterile liquid called saline, which is salty water used to rehydrate people. And then a little bit about the partners before I move on to the next one. The people behind PrEPVAC are 80 senior scientists, clinicians, social scientists, community liaison specialists, and professional support roles from 15 partner organizations. They have extensive experience working with HIV and other infectious diseases, as well as clinical trials and specifically carrying out HIV and PrEP trials across Europe and sub-Saharan Africa. Of the 15 partners, 6 are in Africa, Uganda, Mozambique, Tanzania, and South Africa, 6 in Europe. In Europe, not the Europe, 6 in Europe, UK, Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden, and Germany, and 3 are based in the US. Funders, PrEPVAC is a public-private partnership. The European and Developing Countries Clinical Trials Partnership awarded a grant of £15 million for the study, and all of the institutional partners are providing co-funding through staff salaries. Gilead, Inc. and Inovio Pharmaceuticals are giving support to the project through materials and medicines. PrEPVAC is also supported by USAID. And a whole bunch of other things that you can look on their website. But because people care about this man specifically, I will say another one of them is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Any questions about that one?
Not a question, but like, I think it's remarkable that the team is 80 people. And that's it. Like, I'm just like, granted, there are a lot of people behind them donating materials, donating money, all that type of stuff. But it's literally 80 senior scientists, clinicians, social scientists, community liaison specialists, and some professional support roles. And they're like doing big work, and it's just 80 people doing it. I think about teams. I don't know. You know, there's so many things that I know happen, but like, I don't think about the amount of people that are behind it. I always think it's like a huge room with like hundreds of people doing this stuff. Just to see the word 80 and they're handling, like, I believe they want how many people, like over 1500. You said it earlier. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. So like I'm like 16, it's 1668. That's a lot. You know what I mean? Like the ratio to that is just like these people. And that's why earlier on when you were saying, like, especially people who are personally involved with it. And yeah, we can be like anti all of this stuff, but the people who are hands-on and literally taking their time to do this, it's 80 people who are just like, I just want to make the world better. I want to do this and I want to be hands-on at it. And such a small team. And I just think about like funding is being cut for like certain things. And it just, it breaks my heart a little bit. Yeah.
I think about that too. That's a good point. Because I don't know what it takes to make a study like this happen or anything like that. And so I think that, and I'm not sure if that's not true, then that's not true. But I think that more than 80 people could probably make this go a lot faster and like better. Yeah. Things like that.
Yeah.
And I just think about all of the resources that are just put into like bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Like the resources that don't need to be put into anything, but because we live in a capitalist society, it's like, oh, make more products to sell.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, save people's lives. So, yeah. We are fucked. But maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. I really hope that that study goes well.
And yeah.
I'm glad that it's happening. All right. Let's get into our last contender for today's episode. We're going to talk about Moderna, which is the first HIV vaccine candidate to use mRNA technology. I'm going to read a lot from a Smithsonian article called Moderna to Begin Human Trials for Two Experimental HIV Vaccines, written by Elizabeth Gamillo. So, the article reads, the pharmaceutical and biotech company Moderna could begin human trials for two new mRNA-based HIV vaccines as early as September 19th, 2021. It's a lot of different late dates in October, September floating around, so I don't know when they officially started, but it's around this time.
Okay.
According to a study record posted to the United States National Institutes of Health Clinical Trial Registry, the vaccine will use a mechanism similar to the groundbreaking mRNA system in their COVID-19 vaccine, reports Science Alert's Fiona McDonald. The study is expected to take place until May 2023. 2023, a big year for HIV vaccines.
Yo, let me tell you. It's going to be rolling out. Like, look, 2 years, I'm going to be like, damn, everything's just dropping every month. Like, we did this. It's wild.
Exactly. Yeah. So for several years, scientists have been researching the effectiveness and potential of mRNA vaccines for cancer treatments and other diseases in animal models. The Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines were the first mRNA vaccines used in humans. And look at that. Half of the population did not drop dead. Which one did you get, Rodecca?
I got the Pfizer, you know.
I got the Pfizer fathers.
Pfizer poppy, you know, Pfizer fathers. Yes.
Yeah. And look at that. Still here to this day.
Look at us.
the mRNA vaccines work by giving cells instructions to make bits of the same proteins on a virus's outer shell. The proteins then prime immune cells to recognize and destroy the virus, reports Sarah Kotish for Popular Science.
Shout out to proteins. They're holding us down, son.
We are merely proteins at the end of the day. If you want a deeper dive of how mRNA vaccines work, I'm going to include a link in the show notes to an episode of In Those Genes podcast. The episode's called That Rona. It uses music and cultural references to help break down normally dense scientific information, like what the fuck is an mRNA vaccine. Full disclosure, I do produce In Those Genes podcast, and that particular episode did win an international audio award.
Yeah. I'll never get tired of hearing that, son. Look at
what
that.
Can I say? What can I fucking say? But yes, like the analogy that we use in that episode is like, let's say you're fucking the vaccine is a person who's like letting the bouncer at the club know, like, yo, don't let this motherfucker in.
Yeah,
like that's the gist of how these work. Researchers suspect multiple vaccines will be needed to generate an immune response strong enough to protect against HIV. HIV is a retrovirus that attacks the body's immune system. It's difficult to prevent because it has a spike-like protein coated in a sugar-like residue that allows it to hide from antibodies when it enters the body, per Samuel Lovett of The Independent. Currently, there is no cure for HIV, only treatments that slow its progression, like antiretrovirals.
Never knew that. The spike-like protein. No. The spike-like protein with the sugar-like residue. It's like essentially hiding, like, yo, I'm just sugar over here. Ignore me. And then it's just like, nah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Creating a vaccine that targets HIV is challenging because the retrovirus becomes a part of the human genome 72 hours after transmission. To prevent infection, high levels of neutralizing antibodies must be present at the time of transmission, as per popular science. Scientists will assess the number of B cells in each study participant. B cells, also known as B lymphocytes, are a type of white blood cell that helps fight bacterial and viral infections. The vaccines are intended to prime B cells that have the potential to produce BNABS, a type of highly potent neutralizing antibody, explains Carrie Jungdahl, a spokesperson for the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative. Past research used a non-mRNA vaccine system, and 90% of participants did develop an immune response, Popular Science reports, though the study was not designed to lead a protective immune response yet. The research did successfully show a purified protein vaccine could stimulate rare B cells in a very specific way. We and others postulated many years ago that in order to induce BNABS, you must start the process by triggering the right B cells, cells that have special properties giving them potential to develop into BNAB secreting cells, says William Schief, an immunologist at Scripps Research and executive director of vaccine design at IAVI's Neutralizing Antibody Center, in a statement about previous research. In this trial, the targeted cells were only about 1 in a million of all naive B cells. To get the right antibody response, we first need to prime the right B cells. The data from this trial affirms the ability of the vaccine immunogen to do this. Moderna's new mRNA HIV vaccine system could help tackle this issue by priming B cells that have the potential to produce BNABS, Jungdahl explains. The neutralizing antibodies work by targeting the virus's envelope, the outermost layer that protects its genetic material, to keep it from entering cells and infecting them. These antibodies can also target several HIV variants. The trials will test the safety of two experimental vaccines. Moderna's mRNA HIV vaccines will be the first of its kind to reach human clinical trials, reports Science Alert. 56 healthy participants between the ages of 18 and 56 who do not have HIV will receive the vaccine, reports The Independent. Four groups will be part of the experimental trials, with two groups receiving a mix of the vaccines and the other two receiving only one of the two vaccines. All groups will know which type of vaccine they are receiving. Moderna are testing a complicated concept which starts the immune response against HIV, says Robin Shattuck, an immunologist at Imperial College London, to The Independent. It gets you to first base, but it's not a home run. Essentially, we recognize that you need a series of vaccines to induce a response that gives you the breath needed to neutralize HIV. The mRNA technology may be key to solving the HIV vaccine issue, but it's going to be a multi-year process. And that is where we're at with that one. Any thoughts?
Niggas is learning up in here.
It's good to learn.
Niggas is learning up in here, son.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here, like, there's so many, like, I've addressed it as we're going through it, but, like, there's so many things I just didn't know. And now it's, like, you know, I'm seeing these studies that are tackling different ways. Like, okay, we know how it gets into our bodies. We know that it sneaks in. It wreaks havoc. The immune system has no idea what it's doing here. So we're like, all right, we're going to try and find a way to bolster the immune system by prepping it. And then we're going to sit here and we're going to take off the envelope off of it to be like, look, you ain't sugar. We can see you. Like, it's so many different ways that it's like we're trying to make sure, because it's going to take work. And clearly it's been taking work. It's taken hundreds of studies and vaccines that like are doing this, and they're still trying, and they're still trying to attack this from any angle that they can, because this is obviously something that affects people in an extremely major way. And I'm grateful for like scientists and science in general that just keeps trying to do things that like, we just don't want to be stuck with these things and have to accept them for what they are. And it's like, let's get that. See, moments like this, it's just like, okay. Like, granted, we haven't gotten there, but it's just like, I like to read and know that we're making progress and we're trying our best. And always just like not taking the things that we are given and saying, all right, fuck it. Well, it is what it is. It's like, nah, man, I know what you did. I know what it looks like. I'm gonna figure out how to get you back. And like, you know, I'm ready for 2023, because that's the year where it's like, maybe some things are groundbreaking and we're gonna find out, like, you know, all of the stuff that goes into it. And those, shout out to those 80 people who are out there running that other trial. I hope, you know, we find something good. But yeah, this is kind of awesome. I appreciate you for reading all that and doing your research, but I feel like I learned a lot, like a lot. And I'm just like, I didn't even know half this stuff. So yes, that's good.
Me neither, man. Yeah. Me fucking neither. When I like, cause I'll like do a cursory glance over articles and things like that to figure out what to talk about on the show. And I just thought there was like one happening right now. And I felt so ignorant being like, no, bitch, there's fucking five at the moment. Okay. This Johnson & Johnson one just ended. Like, but there's a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. And I think it's really because sometimes you're just like, all right, it's 2021 and all we have is fucking iPhones. Like, where are the flying cars and all that bullshit?
Exactly.
And, stuff like that.
And it's like,
but we have like this mRNA technology for the COVID vaccine, and that's the first of its time. And it's like literally saving people's life in real, like, that shit is like, I feel a part of history. Like, I got that shit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And it's like the first, and it's super effective and things like that. And I think that the work that was done on getting that up to, speed when it comes to COVID-19 and all of the work that's been done behind it is also like informing how this Moderna trial for HIV is going to go. So it's just like science building off of science. And I think that that's super cool.
Yeah.
And probably similar with the malaria vaccine, but I don't know enough about that to actually say anything. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed that fucking episode. Weird science.
I hope it didn't make you laugh, though. I'm not going to lie, because, you know.
There was some funny. We started out with Plies being a fake nurse.
I forgot. I was about to say, wait, let's not. There was something funny in the middle, but yeah, no. Yeah.
Plies being a fucking fake nurse. Well, yeah. So if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you. Thank you for listening.
Sure. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to InahoUprising.com to pay a ho or to cop some merch. You can follow me, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram and Fat Black Snack on Instagram as my Finstagram. So
you can follow me at SamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Have a lovely motherfucking week that is informed with real information.
Yes.
Kyrie. Because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.
Bye.